Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being here.
Leanne, thanks very much for having me here.
As in every month that we get to chat, there is a lot of things happening in the community in Rowan County and around the region. The fiscal court held their monthly meeting earlier this week, and we have a lot of things on that agenda to talk about. Of course, first and foremost on everyone's mind is the COVID-19 pandemic and what's happening. Let's talk a little bit about the impact that it's having on the county at this point.
Okay, sure. You know, I put a report out every day, as most people know, and I'm a reminder that quite often when I'm a few minutes late, I'll get a message. What happened to your report today? I didn't realize people really followed it that close to the minute. But, you know, I post a report every day, and we're currently sitting at about 121 cases since the beginning, with 13 of those active and the rest of them are recovered. I do understand that a few of those have been admitted to the hospital over the course of time. I don't know if there is any in now or whether it was last week, but I do know that there has been a few admitted to the hospital over the course of this time of 121. We have been very, very fortunate and blessed. We have had no deaths. And, you know, for the biggest part, I think the community is doing their part. They are, you know, wearing their masks for the most part. There's, you know, you're always going to have a few that won't. But the people are hunkering down, and they're doing a good job with this. And it shows, you know, we've got a population of over 24,000, and we've only had 121 cases. So we're doing something right. We just got to be able to keep it going right.
I know a lot of people were really concerned with the students coming back. Classes started on Monday. Students have been moving in for the last couple weeks, and they were very concerned about new cases coming in. And but those, any student who tests positive, we're going to see those numbers on the county count.
Absolutely. You know, and I think anybody that wasn't concerned about the students coming in, or any population coming in for that matter, not just the students, but a heavy lot of, you know, a number of different individuals coming in is always a concern. We've worked very closely with Morehead State University. We have a discussion every week on things that affect our community with all the leaders, hospital, the mayor and myself. And, you know, they have been very aggressive since they closed down early, but they've been very aggressive in putting some things in play in order to bring the students back. So, you know, they're doing random temperature checks. You know, I have seen some video clips. I've been up around the campus. You know, they're really doing a good job. It really surprises me, but they're doing a good job following the guidelines of the CDC and Morehead State University. But I want everybody to be rest assured that those positive cases that I report every day, daily, those come directly from the health department, directly to me. There's no massaging the numbers. Now, we may get off one every once in a while. I may miscount one, or they may take one off a few days after I post it that was maybe a duplicate. But those numbers, if they're MSU students, they're counted in our numbers. No matter who they are, they'll be counted in our numbers when they're tested here. The only way they're not reported here, if they physically, there is a lot of people that test from Carter County, Elliott County, then they are not, they're tested here, the results come back here, but it's reported back to those counties. But our students, they are our students, and they are our residents for this time period, so they count with us in ours.
I've seen a lot of masks around campus, even outside, and it's been encouraging to see the careful things that have been put in place in order to keep people safe. You know, it's more than just a health crisis. There are many different aspects of the pandemic that affect counties. Are we having any more trouble with county employees being testing positive, or contact tracing issues?
No, we've really been very fortunate in the county to this point. We haven't had any county employees. We had one that tested positive. Probably the last county employee we had tested positive was probably about 3 weeks ago. They were not around anybody. It was pretty much self-isolated, if you will. But across the county, we're, in the county, employees, we're doing very well. We've had no outbreaks in the jail, which is really good, with 260 some people. You know, West Cold Iron's done a good job controlling it there. Our economy is, I won't say it's bouncing back in huge numbers, but you know, if you look around, businesses are still going. Our restaurants are at half capacity, if you will, not fully. A lot of them are still just doing drive-throughs, but we're getting back. We're going, and that's a tribute to the people that are paying attention and following the rules. And that's why we've only got 121 and we're allowed to continue to do this. You know, and those university students, they pay attention to things. And they, you know, you see North Carolina is shut down. Notre Dame is shut down. Those folks, they know, you know, if they don't do what they're supposed to be done, they're going to be going back home. And it really messes up their education. And they're in this for an education. They're not here just to be an economic drive for us.
Right. Now, we talked with several different people during the fiscal court meeting, different employees that are covering different departments. First of all, Emergency Management Director Jim Hampton. Man, he's had his plate full for quite some time. Tell me a little bit about what he had to report this time.
Sure. Jim's a real trooper. He does an excellent job. But, you know, Jim's concern is always my concern, and the other folks' concern here is, do we have enough PPE to sustain us if we have a huge outbreak? And if you've watched the news at all, you know that those supplies are tightening up around the world, and because of the numbers, and certainly in the United States. So, you know, his concern is, do we have enough? And we currently do. Don't want anybody to be alarmed. We do. We're just looking ahead down the road. Jimmy also brought up a good point about contact tracers. They're, you know, if they call you and they contact you, it's they're doing their job. And they're doing their job to try to protect the citizens of Round County and this area. So be pleasant. You know, it's no different than you doing your job, whatever it is. They've got a job to do, and they're going to do it as best that they can. And you need to be courteous to them and answer their questions best you can. And so we would really appreciate that from the county standpoint.
Now, the court also got a report from EMS Director Danny Blevins. I guess is during the pandemic when it first started, there were a lot less runs that the ambulance service was doing, but is that kind of coming back at this point? And how's the ambulance service doing overall?
Overall, during the initial part of the pandemic, the ambulance runs did go down because we discouraged people from going to the hospital, and of course they didn't have appointments. Some appointments were canceled, but that has turned back around now. I think the hospitals, talking to Mr. Lloyd, they're back to about 100% capacity, really, with all of their elective surgeries and all the other little things that they do. But our ambulance service has really been busy. I get a notification each time they tone one of those guys out. So my phone lights up all night with dispatches for EMS. And I can tell you, for the last 3 weeks, it's just really went crazy. I mean, it's just I think there are a little over 3,000 runs right now in August. We usually hit about 5,000 for the year. So you can see we're, for what we've missed in the previous months, we're making up for now. The ambulance service, his report was the ambulance services, ambulances themselves, they got a lot of age on them. The newest one we have is a little over 200,000 miles. So we discussed that, and we discussed that farther down. We really did, and I guess we just talk about that now. The court authorized me to go ahead and have one ambulance sent in for modification, if you will, and they'll go in and it's really rehab. It'll go into the shop back into Tennessee and go through a complete overhaul with a new chassis and just put the old body on and tune it up, bring it back to us. That was about $102,000. They also authorized me under emergency requisition to purchase an ambulance right now on the ground, ready to go. And I say ready to go, it'll be ready to go in about 6 weeks. They got to stripe it and put the safety precautions on and the plates, the mounts, the cots. But that was I think when we got finished up with it, it was about $123,000. So, you know, we take the emergency services of the county and the community very serious, and we're going to do everything we can to provide that service. And so there's two new ambulances. One will be up in about 7 weeks, and the other one should be up in about 3 months, we hope. But the rest of them, you know, we've got 7 ambulances, so we've got plenty to work with. So I don't want anybody to be in fear that the ambulance service is not adequate enough to meet the needs of the community, because it is.
Right. The ambulance building is also progressing. Is work started on that yet, or are we still in the design phases?
It's been designed. It's actually been released to the contractor. I guess it's no secret the mail system's been pretty slow here recently. I think their bonds and their certificate of insurance got tied up in the mail. They do have those, and they will probably mobilize it. They could be mobilizing today, but I expect them by next Monday to actually start doing some work to modify the building to make it acceptable for the ambulances. We did get everything closed on with MSU. The property's all been paid for. Deed's been recorded, and we're really looking forward to it. And, you know, things go in cycle. It looks like everything's going to the ambulance service now. And, you know, last year seemed like it was the road department that got everything. And it does go in cycle. We're going to have to start planning. And I've got that working now. We need to plan and replace stuff along the way rather than have to do it all at one time. It's much, much better to just have a plan. We've been working on that since I've been in office. And it'll start taking shape here in another year, I think. It takes a while.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
The killing of George Floyd sparked protests around the globe. Here at home, a nation had to confront its racist past and present. Other names soon joined Floyd's: Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery. We'll hear from the people who knew them best and the protesters marching in their names. Join us for part one of our special report, Summer of Racial Reckoning, The Match Lit, from NPR News.
Friday night at 7 on WMKY.
And we're back here on Morehead State Public Radio. We're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark here on Open Mic. Harry, thanks again for being on the show. We're talking about the fiscal court meeting that happened earlier this week, and the group had a report speaking. You just spoke about the road department getting money last year, now the ambulance service, but the road department also gave a report. How are things going with? I know a lot of road repairs haven't been happening as big as normal, but there is some stuff coming up.
There is. You know, we've got each district has $100,000 of funding that they can use for blacktop in their district as they see fit. I don't take part of that. In the past, it's always been FIS, but I don't do that. The magistrates want, so they know more about what they need in their district than I. So they've marked those. We also got some flex money coming from Frankfort sometime within the next month or so. And that's always a weight game. I think they, you know, it is discretionary. Flex funds, even they're discretionary. So I think they wait to make sure that, no different in the county or anybody else, I think they wait to make sure they can afford it, and then they send it to us. So we're realistically going to put down as a minimum of about $700,000 in blacktop this year. So that'll be nice to see some new blacktop out on the roads. They are changing pipes out in preparation for this blacktop, so that if we don't put the blacktop down and then say, oops, now we got to go cut it up and put a new pipe in because it was damaged. So they're doing all that, prepping everything. They should start blacktopping next week. So please be patient and be mindful that those folks are out there working, and it's going to be extremely hot. And if they're in close proximity, they'll be in masks, so they're already going to be mad. So, be patient with them, but they're doing a great job. They're working, right along. I have to say that the state is idle back some, but the county has not. Those guys are right with it.
Right. Now, I know this isn't necessarily a road department issue, but I have noticed in my very minimal travel around the county an increase in garbage on the side of the road. It seems like everybody's getting takeout because you can't go into a restaurant and eat. The majority of the fast food restaurants don't have their lobbies open for that. And it seems like everybody's kind of just tossing their trash out the window.
It's a problem, and it seems to be more so now, and it looks that way because, you know, I've dedicated, the fiscal court has dedicated essentially almost two full crews plus the detention center out picking up trash for the year and a half, and we haven't done that now since March. So especially when they mow the roadside, you think, oh, my God, look at all that trash. But it is very difficult to keep the trash picked up when people do exactly like you say. They get their hamburger and out the side of the window, the paper and everything else goes. We've been getting some illegal dumps. We've got some cameras set up. So, you know, go ahead and dump, and you just might win the lottery. You may get a dump right where we've got a camera. And trust me, if we can get that picture and we can get that proof, you'll be doing a lot of things for that trash you threw out. I can assure you of that.
Now, I know that there are some community members who are working really hard to be out there picking up trash, that they're especially Chrissy Perkins and her 1 million pieces of trash group. It seems like every other day she's picking up the same section of the lake. And I know that can be very frustrating. Is there anything that the community members can do to help report people who are littering besides just going and picking it up?
Well, you can. If you could get a license number of someone, or that would help us. You know, we will pursue it as best we can. It's hard, you know, if you don't have any proof other than, you know, they can always say, well, it was the person threw it out. It was ahead of me. It just happened to blow past me when there's all kinds of excuses. We hear them all. Yes, if you see someone doing, throwing something out and you can get a tag number, shoot it over to us. And we'll certainly, if we don't do anything else, we will have a discussion with them and maybe watch them. Chrissy Perkins has just absolutely done a fantastic job. She has engaged folks that, you know, I couldn't engage or you couldn't engage. I mean, she's just really went out there and I think it makes a difference because she just puts her heart and soul into it. Mm-hmm. And she's enjoying it while she's doing it. And I'm sure she don't enjoy picking up all the nasties, but she does. She enjoys it. She makes it look fun. She's engaged a lot of folks. It's making a difference. I just can't say enough about her efforts and what she does. And I've reached out to her, possibly that the county can help her in some ways, if nothing more than trash bags and those
little grippers.
The grippers. Anyway, we're really proud of her and her efforts.
The fiscal court also got a report from the county jailer. Numbers over there are kind of slowly creeping back up, but it is expected that even more will be coming into the jail pretty shortly.
Yes, we were down to 165 inmates there at the very peak of this pandemic. And we initially started out at 347, and I think we're at about 267 now, I think it was this morning. And they will be, you know, a lot of the court cases have been deferred, if you will, for lack of better words. They've been deferred. Well, in October, those deferrals will start coming back up. So, you know, for whatever you've done in the past, and if you think you would have got a jail sentence out of it, you're probably going to get to start doing that jail time probably starting around October. And I think a lot of it's probably child support. A lot of it's a few other things. I'm not sure, but I know that County Attorney Cecil Watkins mentioned that in our fiscal court, that the numbers will start up in October. And he directly referenced child support in the rears, I think.
Right. Now, the county had to do some amendments to the budget because of CARES Act funding. I mean, it's always nice to have money that you weren't expecting to come in, but unfortunately that we have to do it because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But the budget was amended, and the fiscal court did talk about additional grant funding that could be coming through.
Yeah, we were approved, if you will, for $833,000 from the state under the Federal CARES Act. Round County qualified based on population. Again, how important the census is. We were qualified for $833,000. We submitted our expenditures and whatever we've done up to this point in COVID-19, we submitted those, and that totaled to be $477,000. So they reimbursed us that. So we have to amend our general budget in order to put those funds back in. And I don't want to mislead you. It just doesn't go into the general fund. We amend it, but it goes back into the ambulance service and the other places that we spent this money on COVID-19 for. And it comes back in and goes and reimburses us for those expenses.
Right. And I guess, have you sent in a second reimbursement report yet?
We have not yet. We are gathering the, Michelle Jesse does a terrific job. She tracks every penny. She's got all the receipts, everything. When we get to a point where we think we need to go ahead and submit it, we'll submit it and go through. And it took us about a month last time to get it back. So we're kind of waiting to see where we'll be and where a good time is for to request those refunds.
And we are
with the grant. Just real quick on the CARES Act, they allowed us, if we wanted to give some grant money to small businesses to help them recover from the COVID-19. And we sent out the application process. We got back in the county. We got back, I think, 11. We awarded three grants, and those were some were, to be quite honest with you, were not licensed to work in the county, and so. We had a group that weeded through those. I stayed out of it. The mayor stayed out of it. It was non-political. We ended up awarding three grants to the county businesses in the county. So it's, we're trying to help all we can with the COVID recovery.
Mm-hmm. And we are starting to run out of time here on Open Mic, but I wanted to quickly touch base. I've seen the Poppy Mountain cars are being parked around. It seems like that's going to be the first large-scale event that has happened since the pandemic began. People are getting really excited about the opportunity to listen to some live bluegrass music, and also some people are really concerned about having a lot of people come into the community. I know that that's probably already on your radar.
Yes, it is, Leanne. It's been on my radar for some time. The health department really controls this pandemic, and I've been with the health department and I've discussed this with them. They have went to the legal folks at Frankfort. It is legal for them to hold the Bluegrass Festival. However, they have to meet the same requirements as any business does in order to do that. Now, I know that they have got some things in place. They're going to check temperatures at the gate. They're going to pass out masks. They're going to do all these things. They're encouraging social distancing. So there is plans in place, and they actually have to submit a plan to Frankfort to get it approved before they actually hold this Bluegrass Festival. But it's absolutely important. If they're going to hold this festival, it's even more important for the residents around county to protect ourselves and our loved ones. Let's mask up. And, because we can't control what goes on top of that hill, but we can control what comes off of that hill. So we'll mask up and keep our social distance and do the things that we're supposed to be doing. And if they choose to continue with bluegrass and the folks go there, they're going at their own risk, and they're actually paying a pretty good amount of money to go to their own risk. So.
And unfortunately, that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Round County Judge Executive Harry Clark, I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much, Leanne, for having us.
Thanks for tuning in to Open Mic. Our show is produced by Greg Jenkins, and our theme music is Turtle in the Creek, composed by Galen Green and performed by The Wooks. Produced by Moorhead State Public Radio with the generous support of listeners just like you. We'll see you next Friday.